Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! How about it? It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland, how about it? I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium and Gale. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Hello, Tori.
And your boy J Scott 25. What it do, y'all boys?
What up, 25?
Yes, sir. Good to have my boy back.
Oh, that boy Duval J25 this week, bro. I see you.
It's crazy. He owns so much teal, and none of it is dolphin teal.
I got the
helmet. The helmet's always in the back.
Dolphin teal too, man. You know, it's just whatever spurts in the drawer. You know, it gets folded up and put in there, and I just pull.
You can just leave the dolphin stuff in there for a while.
I think we do teal better. I'm be honest with you. I think our teal has a better hue to it, I would say.
Yeah, I'm a little bad.
Yours is a little bit more teal. Ours is a little more aquamarine-ish. Needless to say, as a Dolphins fan, I won't be wearing a ton of Dolphins stuff anytime soon. And that's fine.
We stink.
Well, we may be the worst team in NFL history.
The world, man. Look how fast the Lions turned it around. It ain't impossible.
The Dolphins will show you that anything is impossible.
Oh man!
Anything is impossible.
Hey, you guys,
how's everybody's weekend?
Subscribe, comment, hang out with us. Same corner, same time. I had a solid weekend. Not a whole lot. It's hot out, bro. Just been outside. Summer's here. Kids is training. My son is training with football, track. Sometimes two times a day. So it's this time of the year. You outside, you melting. Cool the car. In the winter, the people up north got to warm the car up, go wind your windows down, air it out, all that, bro, before you step into the car.
You have to. No, it was a little bit nicer here in Tampa. I think it was maybe a little bit nicer in South Florida this weekend than maybe the last couple weeks, but I think we're just about done. I think we're done with any sort of cooler-ish weather. It's sweating time. It's sweating time for the next 3 months, 4 months.
Yeah, I was actually up in a family trip for my mother-in-law's birthday. We went to DR, and it was definitely hot up there. And I said, is it just that time of year? And, yeah, I came back to South Florida, and it was still burning up just like it was over there. So.
Dude, it gets hot in the DR, brother.
Yeah. Luckily, I was
just hot in the DR.
It still ain't matter.
I was in the DR, three Julys ago, and that was about the hottest I've ever been. They're like, oh, there's a wind here. Not when I was there. No, not when I was there. They're like, so it was a relatively nice hotel, air conditioned. That didn't work the way that I intended.
Yeah, the AC ain't like our AC over here.
Yeah,
the ice in
the drinks is not as cold as the ice in the drinks here, so that's melted. It's like, man, I'm just hot the whole time. It's just hot.
It's uncomfortable feeling.
Nick, glad to have you back. I know that you missed last week. It's good to have you. We'll talk. We're going to put you on the spotlight. We've got some baseball talk. Yeah. But we're going to don't worry. that opportunity for you to stand in the paint and talk about me being the biggest connection to Coral Springs High School, now associated with the University of Florida. And we'll do that. But before we do that, we got a lot of recruiting to talk about. We're going to talk about some of the big issues that are facing college football now. Brandon Sorsby, we'll talk a little bit about NIL. We'll talk a little bit about recruiting. So we'll touch on the Todd Golden interview if you guys want to. And then other than that, let's get on with the show, Corey, with a Brent Adri.
Stadium Miguel is powered by the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured, from the panhandle to the keys, my man Greg can insure you. And if you want to save some money, because I promise you, you can save some money, give them a call at 954-589-2204 or visit bruntinsurance.com. It won't cost you a dime, just a little bit of your time to see if you can save some money. Homes, autos, your life, motorcycles, RVs, boats. If it has wheels, Greg can insure it. Your life doesn't have wheels, but he can insure that as well. 954-589-2204. Big coverage, big policies.
And Greg, what it do, baby?
My bad. You weren't here last week. You've otherwise been absent from the pod, so I completely forgot. You've been a bit of a pod truant recently, so it's good to have you back. So one time for our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, these guys used to work on behalf of the insurance companies. Now they will work for you. Hurricane season is 1 week under the books, and this is a phone number that you should save in your phone in case you guys have any issues should something happen with hurricanes, floods, earthquakes. Do you guys know that there was some earthquake tremors across the state of Florida today?
No way.
Yeah, there was a earthquake off of Cuba, and there were tremors felt all the way up here in the Tampa Bay area. Not by me, but by some people that definitely said that they saw some or heard some shaking and windows rattling. So you never know when an earthquake might come to Florida. So save this phone number, 727-258-0043. Again, that's the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. That's Dykus Burke law.com or 727-258-0043. All right, gentlemen, let's talk a little bit about recruiting. Big week for the Gators when it came to recruiting. The Gators landed a number of commits over the last week. Four of them, to be exact. They did have a couple of players also shut down their recruiting. So let's run through them now. The first was Zamar Tukas, 6'4", 235-pound defensive lineman out of Brighton High School in Rochester, New York. He's the number 52 nationally ranked defensive lineman in the country. Chose Florida over Penn State, Nebraska, and Georgia. That's the Gators' fourth defensive lineman commit in this class, and I believe the highest ranked at the time for the Gators recruiting or for the Gators defensive line. Guys, any thoughts on Mr. Tukas?
It's real, like an overview real quick. It's funny because like we're in June and it's still like, but like if you pull up like classes, like people have like 18, 22, 23, like we're classes are filling up way differently now. So like even the excuse, like, because people are getting on Chapman for what they had pulled, what they hadn't pulled at a certain point. And I'm like, dude, we're in April. What are we talking about? But then you start looking at it. So maybe, I guess the whole timeline has shifted up now.
Except for LSU.
This isn't recruiting season for Lane. The portal is
Rain.
It's not Lane. Portal season.
Yeah, Lane's gonna turn any program he's at into a Porter program, so I wouldn't pay a lot of attention to.
Just a quick little, you know, jest.
Well, they just spent so much money in the portal. If I was funding this whole outfit, I'd be a little slow too. It's like, hey, let's see what this boy do real quick.
if you were the Children's Hospital,
yeah, man, because we got a lot of kids, we can't have them all sick.
Yeah, no, but Nick, you make a valid point. Gators sit right now fifth on three and third on 247 in terms of rankings. Texas A&M has 20, Miami has 18, Oklahoma has 21. Texas Tech, an outlier here with only 11 commits. Gators have 23. Notre Dame 18, Ohio State 13, USC 13, Oregon 16, Michigan 16, then it moves down. So if you were to average these out, I would imagine if you looked at the top 25, most schools probably have 16 to, you know, probably closer to 17, 18 as an average. So you are right on the timeline being shifted up.
Yeah. Go ahead, bro.
No, I was just probably, is it me or is like this like one of the best classes I feel like is being shaped up in a long time?
Yeah, I think from
really follow recruiting that much. So
I think it's like right. I think it's like quarterback, you don't have a five star, nothing too crazy, right? Like we don't have some class with a few five stars, like especially at the quarterback position. And a lot of classes are really judged off that position and just like dynamic players. But just the quality overall, I think, is very high. Right. I like that Chapman's raised the floor a little bit with the get he just got. We got some more defensive players. So I think they're listening to us talk about it. They're watching the timeline. They're answering the bell. But I think overall quality is going to be one of those classes. If they could end up in, you know, towards the end, flipping a guy like Brewster or some other five star, then you get to like the all time classes. But yeah, it's going to be one of them ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean that class of 2010, the greatest recruiting class ever?
Yeah, it was up there. Urban just wasn't with the you know, he have his mind right.
Class is nuts.
College was Jordan talking nonsense.
Jordan Gators have 16 blue chip recruits. That's why they have one five star and 15 four stars. That's the highest number in any class right now. As a percentage, it's not the highest, but it's close to the highest there. And I'll do some research while we're talking about some of these other guys and when the last time the Gators even had that many in a recruiting class. It's been quite some time. Last year they had 13 blue chip recruits. The year before they had 16 total with 27 commits. So I definitely think that there's a chance that the Gators get, more than they've gotten since. I mean, I'm not going to keep borrowing time here from the pod. I'll keep looking. The next one the Gators got is 6 foot, 185 pound athlete out of. So I guess he plays wide receiver, running back, safety. Out of Clinch County in Homerville, Georgia. He's ranked as the number 36th safety nationally. Had 38 catches, 828 yards, 11 touchdowns on offense, 29 tackles, 5 interceptions on defense. Runs an 11.300 and then got an offer from Florida back in April and committed in June. He is a three-star. He is the Gators' lowest-ranked commit in this class, but I don't think that that's necessarily indicative of where he might be. That might just be a position thing to look out for and where he might land, but maybe a guy to watch moving forward.
That sounds like a gem right there. Sound like you're going to be so nice.
What's his size?
6 foot, 185 pounds.
Okay. I need him to work on that 100-meter time, though.
Yeah, it ain't fast, but you know, some dudes got that game speed. It ain't
I haven't seen the tape, so you know, just
yeah, I'm about to say if you can play in between them whistles and be moving fast, shit.
Right.
The dude that's running at 10-9 can't stop and start as good. He ain't no good to you.
How agile is he? Yeah, like how agile can he make guys miss? Is he tough to tackle in the box?
Yeah, exactly. Can he break it down and still start and start good?
We have a way of finding this out for you, and you guys can judge in real time here.
Yeah, put some tape up, man. Let's go, man. Yeah.
Well, here, while Dan does that.
With 11.3, Billy wouldn't have called that boy no 11.3.
Verified speed.
It's verified, but they ain't fast enough verified for Billy now.
Yeah, here, I want to put this up. So Triple OG said, all this without a game being played. My take is kind of like
– this is what a bump class look like.
Yeah, my take is that, like – oh yeah, no games have been played, so there's nothing negative. Say it all the time. No coach is more popular than one who just won a national championship or one who's 0-0. Most popular coaches in the world.
You get all your lies off. At 0-0, you could tell all the lies in the world.
Everything you say, there's no tape to prove it wrong. You know, Billy, Florida's offense. Like, what were you telling tight ends to get tight ends to commit to you, Coach? I watched your games, Coach. I don't want to be your sixth offensive lineman. I'm good.
Like he was while I do agree with that, Nick, I also think that there are some people on this staff, especially on the offensive line, defensive line, that have a little bit different experience that might attract a player that is different than what it was before. So here we are watching junior season highlights of Kamarion Johnson.
Oh, he's just a football player. Yeah, I like this guy.
That's what I said. I like a dude like that.
He's a football player. He's plenty fast. He just got to learn how to run, I would say. So his 100 meter, all that could get. I like this guy. He's just a football player.
Yeah, I think that's turning him right there.
I would almost be interested to see what his kind of flying time is, you know, kind of that middle 50. Because, I mean, a lot of that 100 meter dash can also be the way that you get out of your blocks, right? So. A little screen pass at the goal line. Who's that
offensive lineman? Who's that offensive lineman 50 yards downfield? Go, big boy.
No, he killing angles too.
Yeah.
No, I can't lie. Yeah, he made the DB turn and burn, and he still went there. DB was
Oh,
jeez.
That was a great catch.
I mean, that's impressive, though, if you really
it's a risky
catch. I see why they made that a highlight. He got like 0 yards, but I see why they made it a highlight.
That boy said, just throw it to me. I get it, huh?
Yeah, he's a receiver. I like it.
Money Green said that that's a top five high school in the state of Georgia, championship almost every year as well. So,
yeah, I don't know where I want to go right now. I ain't still nowhere.
I like the ball in his hand. I ain't going to lie to you.
True. With 6 foot and how thin we is at DB right now.
Shit, yeah, you right.
be like that. I'll take you over there. If things change, I can bring you back on the other side.
So just talking about speed in general, he was, as a 10th grader, he came in fourth in the state championship for the 400.
Okay.
Oh, he's just a strider.
He is strider.
Over 51.
Yeah.
Oh, bro. Corey, that got smoked.
Up nice to, catch.
He definitely trusts.
He's got good start-stop speed, too.
For sure. And he'll go get that thing.
He's got some good agility.
Yeah, I was about to say, he's going up to get it. Another slot fade.
See, this is why we do this live, because you can read it off and you can be like, eh.
Bro, what are these guys doing? Well, who was covering in there? Where were they looking?
That's a blind school.
They're at the near hash. Three people at the near hash. Nobody looking.
This is the clearest high school tape I've ever seen in my life. That one right there. Yeah, here we go. Now we're back to shooting on a camcorder from 1985.
Ooh.
That was a good jump.
I like him at safety too, bro. Like, he could play four. He's a football player.
Oh,
pick.
Oh, that
was gone. He understands the tunnel screen so well. Like, he know how to run that tunnel screen, bro.
You called it. He just a ball player. He's a football player. I ain't the fastest. I ain't the strongest. But
I think that's where somewhat the last staff did drop the ball. I think they was too caught up in like some of the analytics of like how fast you were, right?
Everything was paper. What do you have that we've paper,
verified, right?
What's laser timed hands? Okay, man.
Sometimes you see a football player.
I get it. Yeah, I've kind of like said it about baseball. Baseball is like embrace analytics. I'm like, listen, I don't need to know what your spin rate is to know that you can pitch.
Right.
You should be able to just watch it.
Yeah, it's an eye test part of this, man.
Yeah, and for a guy that is your lowest ranked recruit, it's not bad.
No, I think he's gonna it's hard to say he's gonna move up in the rankings because he plays at a pretty big program. So there's a lot of eyes on him. He can't really be a sleeper. I don't know if he's a kid that doesn't camp a lot. It sounds like he plays multiple sports, so he may not if he's a track guy, he may not be doing
basketball and football.
Yeah, see, that's probably why he's a three-star. He just does a lot of things. He's just not a football 12 months out of the year. I don't even like those kids, bro. Go do something else.
Yeah, these Rivals has him ranked a little bit higher. I think his ranking gets brought down quite a bit just nationally because ESPN, of course, doesn't have a ranking for him, but they have him ranked as the 16th best athlete in the country.
Okay. So,
recruited by Chris Collins, and so Florida beat out Cincinnati, Georgia Tech, NC State, a number of others. Obviously, Florida just offered him not too long ago. They saw something on tape. Maybe they saw something in the during the spring ball practice time of things, or maybe he's a guy that is just like what Corey mentioned, a guy that doesn't camp very often, and you might see his ranking rise considerably, or none of those things could happen. He comes on campus, finds his true position, and then shows out. So welcome to the Gators, Kamarian. And then, yeah, as Lauren Vinoy said, shout out to Lauren. Probably my favorite Jacksonville person. Definitely a cerebral player, not just a sheer physical talent, but understands the game. Shout out to Vary and Ryan. I like them, too. They're from Jacksonville. After that, Gators grab Ellis McGaskin, 6'1", 190 pounds, out of Williamson High School in Mobile, Alabama. This was a huge get. Gators get him over LSU and Florida State. I think LSU thought that he was maybe in the bag for them. He comes to UF, and then all of a sudden on his official visit, but then all of a sudden – things start to turn quickly for the Gators. He is ranked as the number 347th best player in the country, the number 30 linebacker, and the number 17 player in the state of Alabama. I'll pull up his highlight tape.
Jordan,
while we're chatting here.
You knew Drew Hughes got back in the building. Where are we going?
Back, Alabama.
Back to Alabama.
What's that going thing?
Back to Alabama.
Straight to the 251,
man.
251. I like Drew, but we better keep the fence up around Florida, man. I like Drew, the Alabama boys, but I mean Alabama and Georgia is in your parameters, right? We're a North Florida school, so like they're your backyard as well. They're out of the state, but it's still your backyard.
Yeah, I'm about to say you got to kind of still shop for them kids because you got to look at it like. It's a lot of Bama boys that's trying to get out of that life. And when they hear Florida, like, that's a great sale. Like, who doesn't want to come live in Florida? Just the state.
70% of the Gators class is from outside of the state of Florida.
Right.
Like, oh, like that now. Like, that's not, now we're getting a little sounding crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't want it to be. I would love for us to tap into South Florida, but we got to kind of stick.
I think the first class becomes hard just relationship-wise, even though you have some guys that have relationships. You have to go with where you know and the people you know, and NIL certainly changed.
I think if you look at the positions, like outliers, sure, they went heavy on offensive line. I don't think you're getting the top offensive lineman from the state of Florida, but you go and you get Maxwell Hiller, who's a number one tackle in their guard in the country.
Interior offensive lineman, yeah.
Elijah Hutchinson.
This boy's sliding. Oh my God.
Four-star. Like, I think if you look at like the receivers, you have Tremont Collins from Cottondale, Elias Pearl from Port Charlotte. Like, you have to also know what your state produces. Like, we produce skill position players.
Yeah, I would go to Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas for your skill guys. Not that I think a lot of the best players from Texas are leaving necessarily. But no, I think that you make a point, but it is worth highlighting that 70% of your class is from out of state.
Yeah. I don't know if any Florida programs have ever been successful with like that type of percentages of 70% of the players from out of state. So you're like defying the odds of being successful in this state. Every program in the Big Three that has been successful has gotten there by like locking down the parameters and, you know, your backyard in state. So. There are some guys there that are in state that, you know, I wish we would have finished. Like, Florida isn't the greatest at recruiting or at producing in the trenches, you would say, right? But you got guys like Tyler Alexander that's a guy that's in your backyard that we kind of faded on a little bit. So some of the guys that are already in our backyard that we spent time and resources on with recruiting, close on them, you know. Maybe it's just a bump class. I like the ranking. Yeah. Maybe the dynamics of college football, you know, the world's getting smaller a little bit. Who knows? But with that percentage, it is something to keep an eye on. Like, I don't think none of the big three have ever been successful. If you look at even the Miami, even though they didn't win the national championship, those key guys on that team are Florida guys.
Not for sure. Yeah. And I mean, I think you got to kind of realize, too, that's kind of the stakes they're up against, right? You got a Miami team that just was in the national championship. They're a little bit on fire right now. So instead of him just kind of getting cold feet, you pivoting and trying to, you know, tap into, like you said, other backyard states like Georgia, Alabama. And then once we build that relationship, because we do got some South Florida, you know, roots on the coaching staff to where I think we'll be able to tap
sure.
in guys. But got you know how them boys are from down south, bro. I got to see it to believe it. You're not about to always sell me a dream. And you got to build that relationship with them to then make them feel like, okay, I know Miami's in my backyard, but right. Florida.
I was going to say, especially when there is a dream, like we can hate Miami and we can think that maybe it's not sustainable, but right now it's hard to argue. So there is a school that is recruiting the state and producing wins, right? Whether you want to criticize the ACC or not, or make fun of them that they didn't win the national championship like I do.
ACC is terrible, but they still recruit well.
And they're putting guys in the league. And I don't think that that's going to stop anytime soon. So you're competing against that. Again, not a knock on this particular class yet. You know, Florida's best two players are from Pennsylvania and Virginia. They just both happen to be offensive linemen. Then you get into Florida for your next three with Eli Pearl, Davin Davidson, who we had on the show last week, but the two of them, and then Tremont Collins, who I think kind of gets forgotten because he's been in the class for a while. And then we're going to talk about Caron Butler, Peyton Miller. So that Nick makes a point that you are going out of state to get some of your offensive linemen, your defensive linemen, and some of these other folks. But, you know, across the board, you know, it's Florida and then Georgia. I mean, but you went into Pennsylvania, Virginia, New York, New Jersey, and Ohio for players that maybe you didn't have to.
I think Corey's point's valid. Like when you said 70%, I'm like, yo, that's shocking. And then I pulled up and I'm like, okay, well, like having been at every practice in the spring, offensive line is the scariest thing. And like this recruiting class isn't going to help you this season. But like if you're watching practice, you're like, yo, we need to fix the offensive line. So you're going to put a point of emphasis on offensive line. I think this staff in general is going to have an emphasis on the trenches, regardless of what the roster currently looks like. So you might get more of that. It's just like a Mark Matthews, David Sharp, like how many number one offensive linemen in the country are coming from Florida? It just doesn't feel like it. I could be wrong. I have no facts to back that up. I'm just, we're going on vibes here.
I mean, of that same cloth, right? Florida's terrible at producing quarterbacks. Now, three quarterbacks from the state of Florida, you know, not Philo. Philo's from Georgia, but you know, Tremell's from Florida. And now with the new, you get the quarterback also. Like Florida doesn't produce quarterbacks very well. 9 times out of 10, you want to be Georgia, Texas, California, or maybe even in Carolina somewhere. But Florida does not produce good quarterbacks. It's just you got to find talent that's right here. Like I love Davin. Like he could play. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you know Florida hasn't produced quarterbacks in the past. Same thing with a few positions. I think Florida's the talent's so saturated. That's why we see guys be like, man, how did the big three miss out on this kid? Yeah. We so many kids. It's under really evaluated. It sounds like something crazy to say, but a lot of talent is not evaluated as heavy because the stars are not on them. I'm seeing some kids now that are starting to get some crazy offers and they have zero stars and they're in the 27 class. And I'm like, bro, this kid's a monster. It's a running back right now. I'm forgetting what he just committed to Colorado. This kid's a monster. He look like an NFL running back right now, and he can play. He has zero stars on a very good football program. So it's just like, how is everybody missing this kid? So I just think Florida is also, man, it's saturated with talent. And you just got to dig a little bit more. A lot of that come from relationships. This staff got to just, I think, get some more relationships in state. You got Brandon Harris on this staff, so he has a lot of relationships down south. Trotwine just has a national brand. Trotwine can recruit the entire country because he has a national known name. And Penn State kind of recruited the whole country regardless. So he's got that track record of traveling everywhere to kind of just get top offensive linemen wherever they are. But for the most part, a lot of these guys don't have Florida ties. And that's just relationship building. This could just be the bump class. But bump class is an important class. I like what we rank. I like the star quality, etc. But from a sustainable standpoint, I think, you know, being able to recruit your state is and then target certain guys in the portal is the blueprint.
Yeah. No, 100%. Gators grab one more commit. They actually have another one that we'll talk about here in a second. I accidentally called him Miami Heat legend Caron Butler. I meant Caron Wheeler. Caron Wheeler is 6'5", 266 pounds out of St. Paul School in Baltimore. The number 108 overall player, number 13th on the defensive line. Committed to the entire group at the at their official visit this week, and the whole crowd went crazy. It was really cool to watch. It was definitely on it was a cool video to see. But the Gators do grab Caron Wheeler here, not Caron Butler. But with NIL rules now, who's to say that the Gators basketball program can't go grab Caron Butler, see what he still has left in the tank. But you know, this is kind of the top guy, you know, one of the top guys in right now, the top guy on the defensive line for the Gators.
Holy rivals crap. Play that back. Play that back. Play that back. Hold on. Rewind that, dog. This kid's got to go get a law degree, whoever he did this to, man. We'll hit the books.
Was it this one?
Yes, bro. Hold on. Oh, my God, bro. Are you kidding me? Wow, charges, bro.
I'd like to see what we're looking out for, an interception return. Oh, geez. Okay. Oh, dang. He's got some wheels on him. He just outran that running back.
Yeah, y'all got to leave Chapman alone. Leave Chapman to his own devices, man. Y'all talk greasy. Now he got a D lineman that lines up a receiver. <That's> He's malting kids, bro. This is nuts. Oh yeah, we got one. This is an edge rush we haven't got in a long time, man. Like it's been a while since we just had terror off the edge, you know. And the quarterback we knew every time somebody dropped back that it was going to be just pressure, even if it wasn't a sack. He got that type of ability. Stand him up, set the edge.
Yeah, he can
try to go back inside. Shit, I mean, still get you, bro. What's up?
What? This is why you should watch us on YouTube or watch us on Twitter. Us get to break this down live. He didn't even try on that
play. Yeah, this is unfair.
Yeah, he's just handling these kids.
It doesn't look like terrible competition. I mean, at least the size.
Nah, for sure.
He's making him look like terrible. Physical.
Yeah, he's just doing it.
Yeah.
This is what Florida recruits supposed to look like on high school tape, though. Like,
you like the motor, he chasing the ball.
He's from Maryland.
If you got a question if he's playing a blind school or a handicapped school or something like that, then you're like, yeah, that's the type of kid we're supposed to have, bro. He's dominating. That's what you're supposed to do on high school tape. If you average on high school tape, you're not supposed to be here.
That's a fact.
That's what we used to say about Will Greer. We used to be like, yo, I don't care who he's playing. Look at the numbers.
Yeah.
He was playing like that one lowercase singular.
I think you may be right. Yeah. May be right. Since Dante Fowler may be.
Yeah.
At a high school, because John Grenard had some numbers.
Yeah, I'm talking about
John Grenard was trans high school. Like
That's what I said. I said at a high school, probably Dante Fowler, but no, LJ McCray was 5-star.
Yeah, LJ McCray was good. This guy's bigger than LJ McCray.
I don't know if LJ was dominating on tape like this though. Not in Florida, he wasn't doing this. Maybe it's competition. But yeah, LJ tape was not like this. I think a kid get assaulted. And tampering.
I've seen a kid get assaulted.
Yeah, because LJ McCray's been, this is what, going on to his third year. He's 2 pounds heavier than
Caron. I always thought he was a guy that was a candidate to move inside. I thought he was too bulky. Like, his body type don't scream edge rusher to me.
What, power rusher?
Power rusher. Jonathan Bullard is who I thought.
Really. Yeah. Oh, John.
Yeah, Jay Bro, is John's
still in the league?
Yeah, yeah, he is.
God dang.
What a game. That's what five stars do. They just hang around the NFL for forever.
Yeah.
Or the real ones, I would say.
Yeah,
I mean, probably not as talented, but, you know, a little bit like Carlos Dunlap or Jermaine Cunningham's film from way back when.
Yeah. He's around that mode, but shit. Carlos Dunlap was so insane. Good. Carlos Dunlap tape was retarded, man.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah.
This kid lines up at receiver, though, bro. It's like, I remember the first time I seen John Bostic, and right before he had any stars or anything, I go to Glade Central, Miami Central game. I'm just out there to watch Glade Central, and this big kid was at receiver. I'm like, who's this big dude at receiver? He catches a slant and goes like 65 yards. And then he goes and line up at linebacker. I was like, yeah, that kid's about to be something. And then he started blowing up that next year, you know, when he hit the camp circuit. That kid lining up at receiver reminds me of that. Defensive ends at receiver, winning jump balls, looking like a receiver. You got an athletic freak on the edge.
What?
Leave Chapman alone. Y'all gonna learn to start talking crazy to chat, man.
All right. And then lastly, and then there's a couple questions. And I'm going to pull up this highlight film because it was specifically requested.
A long snap.
Oh. Yep.
Long snapper film?
I better see some tackles on that.
Bro, long snapper film. What are we doing?
I need at least two or three tackles if I'm about to watch this.
No. It's just got to be trick shots. It just has to be trick shots. He's like long snapping into a car, like taking a long snapping a can off a baby's head.
Like Eddie did. Eddie used to do all the tricks. That's how Eddie got when he blew up.
Eddie Pinheiro.
Yeah.
So the Gators grabbed J.D. Lane from Mendenhall, Mississippi, Simpson County Academy, 6'1", 220 pounds. Long snapper, jersey number 42. If you're looking it up on the internet, it's not spelled JD like you normally would with the initials. It's spelled J-A-Y-D-E-E. JD.
Kid the wrong position.
Hold on. Look at this.
Electric. What a punt.
Electric. Where is my guy? Come on.
This will be Justin Cord, FLA, specifically asked these.
What are we doing, man?
Long snapper highlights.
Like, I mean, why even make this tape?
This is only the first half of the season, Corey. There's an entire second half of the season after this to watch.
Oh, my God, bro.
This is every single snap ever that he put together. Now, we'll
and do you time how fast the ball gets back to the placeholder? Like, what's the science to watching this
probably.
Tape?
Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah, they do that for sure.
If you have to ask, you just won't understand. So.
Was offered by Mississippi State, committed to Florida, was, I guess, contacted, which is a new thing that Rivals is doing, by Miami, Ohio State, Virginia Tech, Arkansas, a number of others. Visited Ohio State and Alabama twice. So, you know, there he is. He's a long snapper. Every team needs one.
I missed my calling, man. I should have really focused. That DB is tough. That long snapper thing, I feel like I could have really honed my skills there, man. Just
so my cousin wanted to play football. I'd never played football. Goes to St. Thomas. His dad's afraid. Comes over to my house. My dad teaches him how to long snap. He long snaps at STA. Do you know Jordan Cowart? Jordan, you might be a little older
your
than
dad.
You.
Your dad just teaches long snappers?
Like, yeah, my dad long snapped. Your dad was a long snapper where?
He was in high school. In high school.
Oh, I thought he like maybe went and played in college. No, who knows?
In high school.
Frank's a man. He's a Renaissance man.
So my cousin learns how to long snap. You get a
special team glove from. Now I get it.
My cousin learns how to long snap in our front yard. And gets a scholarship offer from Charlie Weiss and has a 4-year degree from the university from Notre Dame.
Ever heard of it?
From learning how to long snap in the front yard. No CTE. Can't touch the long snapper.
Yeah.
Got a Notre Dame education.
You just run down the field.
We didn't know that with all the special team issues that we were having, that your dad could have came in and filled in an interim role.
Bro, Frank's the man. He can definitely count to 11.
Frank let you down. Frank got your cousin, a long snapper, offer at Notre Dame, being a long snapper, and he taught you how to play baseball?
Yeah, no.
Frank didn't make it through college.
Frank never played baseball. I barely made it through college without sports.
Well, you didn't make it through college baseball. That's what I mean. I know you have a, I know you have a degree.
Buddy, we found beer. We lost baseball when we found beer.
Incredible. Shout out
you to
Frank.
You got an All-American beer ponger, man.
Bro, Frank also taught me beer. Frank taught Jordan how to long snap and taught me how to drink. Tough.
Oh, man. Frank's a legend.
I know which one he liked more.
Frank the Tank.
All right, let's go through some of these questions here. Oh, I posted this on Twitter the other day, just statistically. The Gators have 12 players in the top 200 in the country. So, so far, so good. More recruiting, obviously, on the way. I don't know how big of a class they'll take. You know, I would imagine that you're going to probably get a couple of decommits out of this class at some point, as often happens. There was a question earlier about what do we think is going to happen with Kennedy Jackson. Kennedy Jackson committed to the Gators last Tuesday. I guess we didn't talk about him. We just kind of said that was likely to happen. The Gators, Kennedy Jackson from Lithonia, Georgia. I guess we could have talked about him on this one. He is being heavily recruited by Georgia. I think when we kind of knew that was going to happen, we knew that any guy out of Georgia that Georgia wants on the offensive line, they're going to do whatever they can to get him. They did lose a commit, I believe, to Clemson. He's still committed to the Gators. He took an official visit to Georgia this past week, or took a visit that was expected. So, you know, it's going to be one of those really hard recruitments, like any recruit out of the state of Georgia, especially in a position of need like offensive tackle with Kennedy Jackson. So I don't think much has changed other than, you know, it's going to be really tough. And if he flips to Georgia, it shouldn't be the world's biggest surprise either. But, you know, the Gators have Phil Trautwein now. So hopefully that is, you know, a opportunity for the Gators to win one that they might not normally get.
Man, I wish Florida kids were that loyal. Florida's for sale.
None of them are. Yeah.
Florida's for sale, bro. They'll go anywhere if you got the right check. Georgia's just like, oh, I know Georgia's not offering the most money in a lot of recruiting situations. Mm-hmm. But they from Georgia, they somewhat loyal to them ugly mutts up there, man, for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, they got.
I think it's because we have the big three, and they really only have the big one. I mean, I know that there's Georgia Tech, obviously, Georgia Southern, you know, other schools, but you really only have one major state school. And now, I know people are going to correct me and say that Kennesaw is bigger. I get that, but from as a state, you know, Georgia State is not a well-known football program. Kennesaw doesn't have the same type of football program. You know, when a lot of people from Florida are super transient, you have a lot of first and maybe early second generation people that are from here, go to school here, or raised here. And so there's just a different kind of connection. But, you know, maybe one day that will change. But, you know, Florida has.
Florida kids used to be loyal. Like Florida, there was a time, this is just a new football, right? And in our days when we were growing up, Florida kids that were dogs and killers, they went to the big three.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just not the case. Like, and I think the era of around the time, like when Urban Meyer was wrapping up his run, that post that era, like in Jimbo Fisher, I think that's the last two that really was kind of keeping the big guys home. But you start getting the Bamas and the Clemsons and the Georgia starting to creep in around that time. And it just, that's pre-NIL for us. But, you know, they was just handing out resources a little bit different down here. And it became for sale in Florida. Everybody knew it was for sale.
And I think some of that has to do just, I agree with you on some of that, but I also think some of that has to do with travel being a little bit easier. All your games are nationally broadcast now. Schools were taking care of parents for travel and visit that may not been as possible 30 years ago, 35 years ago, that made it a lot more possible. And especially with families and stuff that moved here for maybe work, or maybe they, you know, they just ended up here, you know, job, tourism, whatever it might be. It just, it made the opportunity to go somewhere else and maybe a connection back home, or schools like St. Thomas were recruiting people, Florida and or IMG Academy, right? We're recruiting kids that maybe didn't have a connection to the state, but only had a connection for the opportunity when they had opportunity to go somewhere else. But, you know, there's definitely
I like that take too, but I also think we was late. Like all three of the programs were late on indoor facilities, player only facilities. The big three were behind a lot of the major programs and just resources. And it was playing a lot of catch up ball. Mm-hmm. So I just think like, there's a lot of things. Florida, the programs, the whole big three, they took the talent for granted.
Oh, like, I was going to 100% say they took the talent for granted so that they focused on other things. They were way behind on a lot of things, not only football only facility, but when it came to nutrition programs, when it comes to dorms, when it comes to the overall student experience that you're playing catch up now. And it's like, oh, we've just caught up to everybody else. And that's not putting down what Florida has built and what Florida is offering now. But when you consider that up until 10 years ago, 11 years ago, Florida was still practicing under the swamp when it was raining. It was nuts to watch walk by. You have a national
championship when Jordan was a student
under the stands.
When Jordan was a student, they were just praying for lightning, because other than lightning, you were practicing in that rain.
That's a fact. We got that indoor. I think I got
the when there was lightning, they were under the stands.
My sophomore year,
everybody that went to school there saw them under the stands.
Thank you.
We also didn't have Grandpa Nick working the NIL. That's right.
When did I become a grandpa?
I was about to say, but no, I just became a dad. Y'all making him a grandpa. Oh,
daughter's not even 2 years old yet. The timeline just doesn't fit.
Oh, man. These people are disrespectful, bro.
Crazy. Shout out. Thanks, Drew. Yeah, no hat today, so forehead's extra shiny.
No, these people are relentless, nuts. Man. Let me cut my camera off.
Hey, run!
Florida skill positions is like Australia with punters. Wait.
Put him back up. What is that picture? Oh, shout out to Shula.
Yeah, Don Shula and Steve Spurrier. All right.
Shout out to him. I like that.
Go Gators. Thanks, Courtney. And then
My lighting, I still got to work on, man. Last week, I was catching a lot of flag, man. People told me
I was. This is what I get for having good overhead light. My forehead shines, you know? I get it. I got a receding hairline, something that I deal with every day.
Man, you fly a lot, bro. You got to go to Turkey, man. You got to take that Turkey trip, bro.
Brother, I got to buy new blinds for this place, and that's more than a trip to Turkey. Good God.
Bump the blinds. Bump the blinds. Pull your shades down.
Nick, that may be the funniest joke you've ever made.
Bro, that's crazy. He said, pull your blinds down. That's crazy.
Oh man.
We need enemies with friends like
you. You want me to go back to being truant on the pod, Dan?
No, I don't. I appreciate you here. Every once in a while, you give a one-liner that keeps you around.
It's funny. HR is going to call me in the morning.
I was about to say, I know we was talking recruiting a little bit, so let's maybe get into like the team some sort, just like all-time kind of day. Like, what's one of the greatest football teams you think Florida had that didn't win a championship? Oof. Or maybe like a top two, if you could think of a top two.
Man, I'm going to say
probably the 95 team.
Team that lost 95, of course, for sure.
08.
Also, like the year
09.
That's Jordan Reed, right?
No, 09 was
no. Tebow senior year.
But there was something about that team that just didn't click all year.
Yeah, they didn't click.
Oh, you know what it was? Dan Mullen, give him his flowers. Dan Mullen left, and Steve Adazio broke the controller and just ran Tebow dive. Fullback dive.
I think there was that. I I think they struggled with what to do without Percy Harvin. I think that there was
a Dazio, bro.
Probably too much confidence too. But it just didn't look. I mean, the Gators won every game during the regular season, and at no point did you ever feel confident that they were going to beat Alabama in the SEC championship. They just didn't look with it. And then, you know, Carlos Dunlap gets pulled over a couple days before the SEC championship. Does that change things mentally? I don't know. But obviously then they go and beat the crap out of Cincinnati in the Sugar Bowl. So I don't really know. Obviously on paper, that team was almost just as talented. Obviously you're missing a major piece in Percy Harvin, but.
Yeah, I'm going to say Kyle Trask is last year. I always stand on this, man. Yeah, that's not a pandemic year. They don't change that to all SEC schedule. Like, I think we make the playoffs, and I think we cause a lot of havoc for sure.
Can we? I want. What was Florida's? I gotta look it up. You guys keep talking about the schedule in 2020 before the pandemic reshuffle was like
it was so easy,
cake as SEC can get. I think it was like a Georgia schedule almost.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Will said that year, what was that, 2015, 2014? What was the Will Greer year where he got popped?
Oh, that was 2015.
Yeah, 2015.
That was your junior year, Jordan?
Incredible. No, that was my freshman year.
Freshman year.
So that team was really, really good.
You could still argue the case that, I mean, obviously, you know, he was balling when he was there, but like, look what we did without him.
He was such a major piece to our offense. All we needed, we're watching the game play. All we needed was a judge. We just need the local Gainesville judge to be like, NCAA. Injunction.
Now that you put it like that, we definitely should have.
So that 2020 year, which ended up being a 10-game SEC slugfest, would have been Eastern Washington, Kentucky, South Alabama, at Tennessee, they caught hands that year. South Carolina, LSU at home.
We got robbed.
At Ole Miss was a win anyway. Kyle Pitts had like 5 touchdowns himself. Georgia, at Vandy, Mizzou, New Mexico State, and then at Mike Norvell. Oh, Mike sidestepped. Michael Jackson moonwalked away from an absolute beatdown that year.
Mm-hmm. For sure. We got screwed that year. The pandemic, you know, outside of y'all having to wear masks and get shots, man, like we also got screwed because they was about to go on a fucking tear. For sure.
Yeah. They was hot that year, for sure.
There's that 2001 Florida Gators team. They went 10-2. They lost to Auburn by 3, and then they lost to Tennessee in a game that got pushed because of September 11th to the last game. Of the year. It was after the SEC championship. It was right before the SEC championship, but the Gators had a week off after Florida State. They mollywopped everybody. I mean, they killed
Marshall. That Tennessee game was rough on the refs from what I remember, too.
It was. It was a tough, tough game. Gators lose that one. Then they go and absolutely destroy Maryland. In the Orange Bowl, but that was an unbelievable season. Rex Grossman, 4,000 yards. Alex Brown, Jabbar Gaffney.
So you had
three All-Americans on that team, and then right after that's when Spurrier left to go to the Washington Redskins. But that's a team that, you know, certainly, I mean, you could say Charlie Pell's 1984 team that should be the Gators' first SEC natty. Championship and first natty. So they went 9-1-1 that year.
I think we can just count that, man. They counted Reggie Bush's.
Might as well. I mean, everybody's just adding. Yeah. But Florida lost to Miami to start that year, tied LSU, and then just went on a historic run towards the end of the season. Might as well count it, though. Everybody else just counts weird things. So Neil Anderson, Kerwin Bell, Lomas Brown, Ricky Natiel. John L. Williams. I mean, just a who's who. Vernell Brown was on that team.
Wow, look at that.
The first one. Yeah. So those are a few. can't scroll too far back because then it takes a really long time to find like a winning team. Find a winning team. All right, guys. Let's talk baseball. Get yourself ready because you've got some things to talk about. But before we do that, one time for our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks, if you want a cool cup like this one.
I'm slacking. I like that cup, man. I'm gonna have to go order that one. I like that. Look at that. That's all right there. I like that little. What color is that?
Tan, camo.
Camo. I think camo. Could go beige.
Let's say khaki.
It slaps with the blue.
Khaki.
I like it with that blue though. It slaps.
Yeah, it's a nice one. I like the old Fighting Gator logo. I wish we use this on more things.
Yeah.
Man, that's kind of clean, man. Yeah, that's like it's like corporate.
That's my favorite corporate logo, too, on the low.
One time for our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15 to get 15% off of your order. It's going to keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Promo code STADIUM15. All right, guys, as you know, the Gators do get trounced in the first round of the regionals to Troy. Gators entered in the winner's bracket going 2-0 to start, and then they lose on Sunday to Troy, and then live during Stadium and Gale, they lose the second one in a game that in no way was really all that close in either one. Troy's bats were hot. They continued to be hot. Troy is headed to the College World Series. The Gators really fumbled an opportunity in this one. They make the decision, I believe, on Wednesday to fire pitching coach David Kopp. A couple players entered the transfer portal. A couple players have announced that they're going to come to Florida. Nick, give us a quick rundown on baseball.
So Florida, I've never seen, obviously Troy ends up making it, but I've never seen, the Red Sea part like this for Florida. Like Moses was taking care of him. The Southern Miss regional, you get the 4 seed, Little Rock, Arkansas comes out of that, Southern Miss great program. They went 0-2, I think, in their own region, or 1-2. All Florida has to do is beat the 3 seed in their region in Troy, and then you would have been hosting Little Rock, Arkansas, with two wins standing between you and Omaha. But credit to Troy. Troy just took it to Florida. The first game, winds blowing crazy, a bunch of home runs Monday night, which is why I missed the last show. Park played true. More true than it has all year, and Troy still came out, handled Florida. Then went, smoked Little Rock, Arkansas. So congratulations to Troy. I think their manager is awesome. He'll be a power forward manager at some point. Then shortly after that, heads rolled. I think I'm going to pull this up. I went through and looked at the numbers, the pitching numbers for Florida. David Kopp, the former most prestigious graduate of Coral Springs High in Gainesville, in Gator Nation, lost his job. Jacob Rudner posted that he was fired. D1 Baseball said that they mutually agreed to part ways, whatever the case. Kopp's first season, I think, was 2023, and Florida's ERA was 4.48. Or sorry, the walks per nine were 4.48. The years before that,
his first year was 24.
I think it was 23.
Oh, okay. I thought it was 3 seasons. Okay.
Yeah, I think it was announced after the 22 season.
Okay, you might be right.
And then 23, 24, 25. I think it was his fourth year. So the team ERA was 4.65 in his first year. It was 4.22 the year before. Then it was 6.05 in 2024, 4.89 in 25. And then this year it was actually down. This year actually was the best year statistically, but Florida's pitching pitching staff was not good under Kopp. It got better this year. You know, I've said there's a lot to development. Florida's got incredibly talented arms. But Kopp can't throw strikes for him, but you also need to coach and develop guys. So Florida's in the market for a new pitching coach. And then you're going to have a bunch of guys going in the transfer portal and pull my thing up now. So far into the portal, Christian Rodriguez, hate that. That was my guy from Douglas. He was probably the most decorated high school pitcher to ever get to campus. And then had the bone spur issue that ended up causing him to have Tommy John his freshman year and just kind of was never the same. He was a big strike thrower, great changeup, and struggled with throwing strikes after the injury. Velo ticked down a little bit as well. Just was never the same pitcher. Really didn't get any opportunities. Probably had 3 appearances this year. Matthew Jenkins, who was a JUCO transfer, pitched a bunch last year. Didn't get a single inning this year. He's in the portal. Cooper Moss didn't get an appearance this year in the portal. McCall Bymiller, I think, got a couple opportunities. Really didn't impress. Colt Myers, I just don't think, honestly, Colt Myers, a great defensive player. I just don't think he's a power four offensive player. And to the point where Florida's offense or Florida's defense was so bad, they still couldn't put Colt in the lineup, even though he would have made the defense better. Cooper Walls transferred in from Hawaii 1 year. He's back out. Was the Sunday starter at the beginning of the year. Ended up losing that job to Russell Sandifer. Started and couldn't get out of the second inning on Monday. It was an interesting – I think the only reason you started him on Monday is because – he'd been better as a starter than out of the bullpen. But by the end of the year, not a guy you could count on. Blake Brookins takes some very impressive BP, just a guy who's been here, I think, 3 years and has never really gotten a chance. So makes sense. Cade Kurland, caught some people by surprise. I don't think Cade Kurland's going to play college baseball anymore. I think he's doing this as kind of a leverage play for himself, for the draft. He was asked on Monday night last week if he would be coming back because he had a medical redshirt year. And he said his intentions to play professional baseball. That's what he wants to do. Also really smart and is probably going to be like working at an investment bank whenever baseball is done. And then his brother, left-handed pitcher who redshirted this year, Rivers Kurland, also in the portal. Florida did get John Embury, catcher from FGCU. They're going to be in the market for another, at least one more catcher. But John Embury, it's funny because like I was also like, hey, who's this Jimmy Janicki kid who tore up Florida for Troy's catcher? And everyone became fascinated with him. And then Florida gets a commitment from John Embury, and people are like, why isn't it Jimmy Janicki? And I'm like, you also didn't know who he was, Jimmy Janicki, right, until he hit a couple home runs in the Gainesville Regional. And then I did like a side-by-side comparison. And John Embury is a better, well-rounded hitter and a significantly better defensive catcher than Janicki is. Janicki had more doubles and more homers with a slightly better slugging percentage. But I think a really, really good pick up. And I want to give a bunch of credit to Mike Rivera. Every catcher who has transferred in since Mike has been here has said they want to learn and get developed by Mike. But this is also a kid who went to Venice High School down there in Venice, Florida, which is where Mike is from. So big shout out to Mike on John Embry. And I think that is going to be someone that Florida fans will like.
Okay. So obviously the college World Series. It has yet to happen. It starts next week.
It starts Friday.
Starts at the end of this week.
Yes.
It's not really egregiously wrong to be 5 days instead of 7 days. How much activity do you expect transfer portal wise over these next couple of days? Or do you expect it to pick up in a couple of weeks?
They had, let me see, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys visit last week. It's interesting. There's a solid investment into baseball. Like they have a good budget to work with, but then you're also going to get
health, Nick. The internet says we're broke and we don't spend money in NIL.
Yeah. Well, you know, you lost to a team in Troy who I'm guessing had a lower budget than you.
Hey man, eventually we got to have the conversation, but
the team LSU, who everyone points to as throws crazy money around, which they do, played zero tournament games. They were home watching regionals.
That's great. Yeah. All right. So this is where we're going to go, Nick. At what point should Florida Gator fans start to ask bigger questions?
I've already started.
A lot of people are asking.
Shut down immediately.
A lot of people are. I see it. I see it a lot in social media. The college landscape is changing, and I think it's going to continue to change because, like Vanderbilt used to be able to offer 30 scholarships, even when everyone else could offer 11.7, essentially because you had all of these as a private school, all of these grants and financial aid things. So you were getting Vanderbilt was always good. Miami should have been good because you should be able to have grants and things like that to pay for private school. Now any school can offer 35 scholarships. So you're going to get more teams like a JU who's really good because they can get guys on a full ride to JU that are going to end up having to pay some to go to a smaller out-of-state school. It'll be interesting because you still have to develop teams. And Sully and his program, they're still going to go out and get a guy that now is going to maybe take NIL instead of taking third round money for the major league draft and say, listen, I think I can, like a Brady Harris who didn't have a good senior year. So he's dropped down and I think is now going to get to campus, but this was the number one player in high school coming into his senior year, and somebody who you sign or commit, get a commit from, and you just do it because they're really good. But the MLB draft's going to take him. You're going to start getting those guys to campus because you'd rather spend 3 years on charter planes at an SEC school than 3 years, 4 years, 5 years on buses playing for the Montgomery Biscuits. So college baseball, NIL is changing it bigly. And I think for a coach like Kevin O'Sullivan, who's been entrenched in kind of set in his ways, and his ways have sent him to Omaha more times than not, you're seeing him adapt to it now. And probably a lot of the older coaches are having to adapt to it. So I don't know. I don't know that if he's washed. I mean, it's you were the third to last team playing baseball 2 years ago.
I think
three seasons ago.
I mean, he may not be washed. He probably could go somewhere. To me, it just feels like he's peaked. From like off the field things, it's just a lot of just cloudy things around. There's a lot of distractions around the team. All of it is all of it his fault? No, not really. But there has been distractions, and I also think he's peaked. It's not a bad thing. He may not be washed. He may go somewhere else and get a spark. Who knows? But I do think he's peaked at Florida.
I'm going back to look. I need to see when did BT Raiopel get here. So BT Raiopel's first year at Florida was 22. He was here 2 years. 22. Florida baseball didn't even really embrace the transfer portal until 22 because they were worried. And baseball transfer portal was way different than football. It was a lot slower. Mm-hmm. But it was a huge question in Florida's program's mind of like, we're recruiting elite high school talent. If we start going into the portal, is that going to hurt our high school recruiting? And that's what had worked. And are we going to get a guy who comes into the locker room and is bad? And I don't think Florida fully embraced even the transfer portal until you had such success with BT Raiopel and Hurston Waldrop. And now, I mean, we mentioned it here. Like Jay Johnson's won 2 of the last 3 national championships, so he can probably say things like this. But like in April, he was like, "Yeah, we messed up. Got a bunch of bad evaluations in the portal. We'll get it fixed next portal cycle." And I'm like, dog, you've got 15 more SEC games to play. And you just told your team they stink and it's your fault. So like you're going to have some teams that just go portal heavy. Florida's still going to try to bring in 12 to 15 elite high school athletes.
Yeah, no. And I think that that's kind of the question. And I don't have, I can't follow baseball enough from here to have a real steadfast opinion. But that's the way that I look. I mean, I know Kevin O'Sullivan's reputation, correct me if I'm wrong, is a guy that develops talent. He recruits well, develops talent, protects pitchers' arms, and otherwise mm-hmm. is a good developer of baseball talent on and off the field, right? I know yep. he's got a reputation as a person, all of that, his coaching style, all of that. Do you think over the last, we'll call it 5 years, 4 years, do you think that the way that the Gators have recruited, used the transfer portal, used NIL with the coaching staff that they have now, obviously there's an opening and you had Girolamo. He left last offseason. But with the way that things are going now and trajectory, do you feel like Florida has – under Kevin O'Sullivan, what it takes to return back to Omaha and win in Omaha. Sorry.
Yeah. I think you've got to get good coaches around you. Like I talked about this. Chuck coached the hitters and coached the infield. When he left and you brought in Tom, you moved your outfield coach to coach your infield because Tom coaches the outfield. And then the infield's playing terrible defense. I'm like, yeah, you have a guy who doesn't coach infielders coaching the infield. Like yeah. This offseason was wildly turbulent.
Unbelievable.
And yes, unprecedentedly turbulent. So I need to see who you get in because it's not like Sully is coaching every player, every position. He's the manager and you've got – other coaches. And for the longest time, from the time Sully got here until like 2019, it was the same two assistant coaches. And coaches moved all around. And I gave a lot of credit to having that consistency to how well they were able to recruit with Brad and Craig. Brad, Craig, and Sully ran Florida's program for 12, 13 years. And then you had some movement. So I think they need to nail the pitching coach hire. They need to have some consistency on the coaching staff. They've got money to play around with in the portal. So like we'll see what they get in the portal. You need a Sunday starter. You need some pieces.
I think it's going to be a really important offseason. I think that the noise is loud. It has subsided a little, but you have to remember, Nick, and then we'll move on to the final subject of the day. It's like, obviously Twitter is not real life, but the people that are on Twitter are also a part of real life. And sometimes they can get those that are on the fringe or that listen more fired up, whether it's truthful or not. I don't think Kevin O'Sullivan is going to be fired, obviously, but I do wonder if the noise around the program doesn't start to get louder going into next year. You end the season before with some on the field shenanigans with Coastal Carolina. Then you go into an exceptionally turbulent offseason. You're not even sure if he's going to come back. And then you have a change at your interim head coach. He leaves to go to a rival in Tennessee. And then the season is what it is. You have a lot of big wins, but ultimately like a very weird year. And you said it consistently. You can beat any team and you can lose to any team. Not really what you want. And obviously baseball is different in that really in one thing, anything can happen. Or one game, anything could happen. But just overall, the tenor of the program. Then you go out of the winner's bracket and lose to Troy both games. You fire your pitching coach. You have coaches that are out of position. This is a really important offseason, I think, mm-hmm. for the trajectory of the Florida Gators. And if it's not next season where things change, I do think that the noise starts to become significantly louder than maybe fans should, knowing that Kevin O'Sullivan has historically brought a Florida Gators baseball program that has had some success. He brought it to a completely different echelon, but at some point, is 18 years enough?
Yeah, and like Florida played this is a good comment. Like Florida played really well down the stretch. But like what we saw against Troy, like you saw that for most of the year. That's just how they played for most of the year. They just like regressed to the mean. They played really well. Like you said, baseball is weird. You're going to lose to FIU on a Tuesday. You're going to lose to a JU on a Tuesday or something like that. You're going to have those weird losses. Or you'll lose to like a bad SEC team just because they have a kid who throws really well one night. It's going to happen. It's a long season. This is just a really important offseason. Sully signed a 10-year extension, so it runs till 2033. He's under contract till 2033. I think the language of it is if he's fired without cause, it's 90% of whatever's left. Scott Strickland has confidence in him. But yeah, I do think this is
– I don't say that. Yeah, confidence in Billy, too. That don't mean nothing.
Because he got that contract, what, when the Texas A&M job was open? Was it the LSU job? I remember.
No. It was – so it was a 10-year extension, so it must have been 23. Because it runs through 33.
This is my last thing, right? And I watch it casual, so I'm not like an avid. I watch baseball very casual. I'm a little bit of bandwagon. The better we're doing, the more I watch. But it just seems we travel like we transition from year to year with identity. Like I don't know what Sully team is anymore, right? Is that just me? But what is the identity of the team this year? What was it last year? Like, I don't like, it's like we're a different team every year. It don't look like we have a grip on like what his team is going to look like from year to year.
So for the longest time, it was pitching and defense. And you would have, you know, you would get a Pete Alonso, Harrison Bader were on the same team. Buddy Reed was nasty, but it was, they played exceptional defense, top 20 in the country fielding percentage. And you had Logan Shore, Alex Fiedo, AJ Puck, Dane Dunn. Like you pitched. Your ERA was sub 3. And now we're talking in one of those years I just pulled up, the team ERA was 6. Pitching and defense, and you had some hitters. For a while, baseball changed in like those Jack, the Cags and Wyatt years. People were complaining, hey, the team strikes out too much. I'm like, that's just kind of baseball now. Like, no one cares if you strike out. It's all launch angle and exit velo. And then those teams became too dependent on hitting 3-run homers. You get out into Omaha and the wind blows in, you're not hitting home runs. Like Georgia fans, if you find this, you can clip it. Georgia's not built for Omaha. Like, their team is dependent on hitting home runs, and they play in this tiny little park.
Yeah, 314 to right field is ridiculous.
Yeah, they play in this tiny little park, and like if the wind is blowing out, you can hit homers in Omaha. If the wind is blowing in, you're going to run into hitting a ball 114 miles an hour that's caught on the warning track. So they shifted to that. This year's team, they were trying to get back to like, hey, we might have to bunt. We might have to hit and run. They were trying to get back to an identity. As baseball changed to like launch angle and everything's exit velo, launch angle, hit home runs, hit the ball in the air – they tried to change with it, and I think you just kind of lost your identity and lost your way a little bit there. And they tried to reshuffle it back this year, but you didn't have the elite pitching or defense. And like, you have to hit, pitch, and play defense. You can do one of those really badly if you're doing the other two elite, and they weren't elite in any three of those things.
All right. Well,
so that was a good question. I like the answer.
That was a good question. That was a good question.
This is a good, good topic of conversation. So thank you, Nick. We'll continue to touch on matters around baseball as they come up during the offseason. but yeah, I mean, it's an important time, and you know, everything was rocky. There was not one thing that was stable in Florida Gators baseball for about 9 months or about 6 months last year. So hopefully get back on the right track and the Gators can end up in Omaha once more. Final topic of conversation, Jordan, want to bring you back into this one. Brandon Sorsby, the courts determined today there's an injunction against the NCAA and Brandon Sorsby is eligible. Some of the reactions have been school saying that they are putting a moratorium against Kansas, or against scheduling Texas Tech in any sports moving forward. But ultimately, Brandon Sorsby, who admitted openly and I guess went to gambling rehab, which would be fascinating to learn, like what that experience is like. But
is that just, you think outpatient. It's just gambling rehab, or is it
like he's I hope he's in there
for he streamed it. It was Zoom.
I think it's everything.
Okay.
Rehab.
And then do you think people who are like addicted to like hard drugs are like, really? You can't put drugs.
Gambling is a real addiction, though.
I get it.
100%. I'm not saying I'm not criticizing the gambling addiction. And I think that we've jumped the shark. Government.
Yeah.
I think that we've jumped the shark with gambling in America, and I think that we're going to look back and look at it as a really poor time, amongst other things. But so it was just the gambling. Like, I don't know, like you do a gambling rehab. Like, hey, I want to, you know, go on Hard Rock, and it's like, slap your anyway. So, but Brandon Sorsby can is back playing for Texas Tech this upcoming season, and there's not much the NCAA can do about it. With that being said, we had players getting suspended for Todd Gurley got suspended for 4 games for signing or selling his own autograph. You know, not that long ago.
Is this tattoos?
Tattoos. Jim Tressel. Completely fired because of that. Do you guys think that this is – I mean, we've always talked at the beginning of the end for the NCAA, but we've got to be on death's doorstep here with the way things are going now, right?
This is a joke.
Because it just seems like anytime you disagree with something, just keep suing. You'll win somewhere.
Yeah, they're mall cops, man. They don't have any governing power. Like, I don't know how you can govern something and be, you know, the end-all be-all of – because they're not the end-all be-all. So I don't know what the NTT really is there for at this point. Even with the thing with Miami, right? Like, besides the game, it's just every rule is being broken. Contracts are stood on the NIL. You could break those. Transfer, like the other Miami DB that went and he couldn't enter the portal. I think it was who denied him of getting in the portal. I can't remember the program, but he still just transfers anyway.
Duke.
No, not Duke. The guy before. Like, there's every year something with Miami in the portal and NIL contracts. But the year before, there's a defensive back, I think from maybe Wisconsin or something like that, that was transferring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Darren Heitner's always in the mix of all of those shenanigans. So he did a couple lawsuits or whatever, challenged it, and it just went through. They're mall cops. Like, they're like, you're on military trail, you're on Okeechobee 95, and the mall cop cuts on his lights. You just keep driving.
Silk's got the NCAA on Segways.
Yeah. Yeah, with a flashlight.
Pulling by Sephora with on a Segway.
A serious entity, man.
So I didn't mean to make light. Like, if you gambling is a real addiction, and addiction is a mental illness. It's been proven. You can't control it. I get it. But like, I can't be an alcoholic. I can't be an alcoholic and show up to work drunk and then be like, yeah, no, it's fine. He's sick. Keep coming in. Like, I applaud him for going and getting help. But like,
quick help.
My brother in Christ, I don't think that he like went because he wanted help.
No. I think he went so he could play. But
no, he did it over Zoom.
Over 3 years.
He did
it
over Zoom. He did it just like this. This is outpatient rehab.
My Florida virtual.
Yes.
Yo.
Graduated in 30 days.
Sponsored by FanDuel.
Virtual. Oh, man, that's crazy.
But like,
hey, Harrison did it for him.
9,000 bets. 9,000 bets, including betting on your teams.
Oh man, that was funny.
Over $90,000. Like you can't bet on sports when you're an athlete. You can't bet on your sport when you're an athlete. You can't bet on your team when you're an athlete. At some point, this was the one where I thought, like, okay, the NCAA has their hands full of L's in the justice system. It's just been Floyd Mayweather throwing out L's, the meme. Just throwing them at the end. And I thought this is the one they'll win. Like common sense will prevail here because you can't gamble on the sport you're playing. It affects the integrity of the sport. Not just your sport, all sports.
We have multiple players banned from Major League Baseball right now for betting on their sport.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You can't do it.
We've had players get banned for selling their autograph, for accepting free food and free tattoos. I thought
Reggie Bush got a free condo and they vacated a Heisman. They stole his Heisman. They
got all that back.
Yeah, you got it back, but
yeah.
No, I was a bit flummoxed and flabbergasted when I saw the news today, because at no point now does the NCAA have any teeth on anything. And if the NCAA passes down a ruling, I'm hard pressed to believe that I need to do anything with that information. I get in trouble with a fraction. Who cares?
They just snatched the NBA, the NCAA's dentures.
You have a bunch of NBA coaches about to go to jail. Now, they were fixing games and stuff like that, and I don't think that, you know, Brandon Sorsby was necessarily doing that, but you're playing in the same ballpark, right? Because
does conference rules supersede the NCAA sometimes, right? Because, like, does the Big 12 care about the gambling, and do they step in at some point and say, hey, this is kind of crazy?
So the Big 12, the commissioner of the Big 12 said that he's talked to multiple of their athletic directors, that he's going to be meeting with the other athletic directors in the Big 12. Someone just leaked this. Georgia's president or AD put a memo out to their teams and don't schedule Texas Tech.
Yeah,
you're getting
immediately no new contest should be scheduled against Texas Tech without prior approval.
I mean, they're all these programs have shenanigans going on, but it's got to be some honor amongst thieves.
At some point,
they got to draw the line where gambling on, like, the integrity of the game is out the window. Like, we can't. Yeah. In some way, you got to draw the line. I think that's
I do think it's tough to kind of do that, honestly, man. Like, I feel for the kid because I know plenty of dudes was in that situation. You know how it is, dudes doing stuff they ain't supposed to do for years. You can date that back to 40, 50 years, we know what it was. You know what I'm saying? So, but in this instance, I think with just the way social media is and how things are going to be portrayed, I felt like this was a perfect time where the NCAA should have did something about it.
They did. The NCAA won. So what happened is the NCAA makes him ineligible. He sues. The NCAA wins in court. They appeal. The NCAA wins the appeal. Then he goes to a Texas state judge who grants an injunction saying, no, he had a mental health issue. He sought help. The NCAA has no jurisdiction. They can't do this. So the problem is now for the NCAA to appeal that, even when it gets rushed, takes 8 to 12 months. It doesn't matter if he is now ruled ineligible because he'll be training for the NFL draft and the combine. By the time that,
there's no way we can put the foot down and just get this dude off of campus. Like, what's going on?
Brendan Marcello,
jump him, bro. You down? Let's go jump.
Brendan Marcello, former guest of the program. Brendan Marcello works for CBS Sports. All four justices on the 7th Court of Appeals in Texas are Texas Tech graduates. So the appeals court that is going to hear the NCAA's appeal, all four of them graduated from Texas Tech.
They should have better things to do with their time right now, man. Be using the taxpayers' money on this right here, like allowing degeneracy. Another thing too, like, I think they just got to be very strict. I think there needs to be more education around these kids using the apps, because like gambling has never been this easy. It's accessible. It's more than him that's doing it. A lot of these kids are gambling, bro, and they got on prop bets and a lot of other things, they can easily just place a bet, bro. Like, and then it's just greed because you're making so much money. Like, why are you gambling on your own team to make even more money?
Yeah, well, I never got the stuff behind that. A lot of people like to compare it to how, like, certain people know what's going on in the stock market, et cetera, like that. But I don't think that's the same. It ain't the same, in my opinion. I mean, you out there literally can do what you want to fix a game, and fix whatever prop you got going on. I just think it's really unfair. And I mean,
well, that's like the, what I don't like the prediction markets, unless they want to give us a ton of money. If the money's there, we don't care. You can, you can sponsor the show, but I don't like the prediction markets. Like you, that's so easy to fix as well. But that's like they went through all of his like bets. He knew what he was doing was wrong. He's sending money, Zelle and Venmos, to his friends to place bets for him.
Damn.
He knew what he was doing was wrong. He knew that there was a punishment. He got caught. And unfortunately, for the sake of the game, I mean,
for the sake of the game, like tough day for college athletics.
I mean, it's a nearly impossible hill for the NCAA to overcome now. I don't think that Congress is going to be able to fix it. And frankly, I don't want Congress to fix it. I believe in certain protections and not getting Congress involved in anything when people don't want to make hard decisions. But, you know, at some point, the NCAA is going to be completely fractured. And I think that we are closer now than we've ever been before. And I would not be surprised if any decision that the NCAA puts out now isn't immediately just brought to court in looking for some sort of injunction. You know, the NCAA says Denzel Aberdeen is out of time. Cool. Sue the NCAA and say what stops you from limiting his ability to play.
Injunction.
They found a loophole, man. It's over with.
Bro, well, I mean, this is just like the biggest like straw on the camel's back. And
I mean, we've jumped the shark. We've got half of Will Wade's team is 37, has played in the NBA at LSU. Like Tyrann Mathieu was tweeting today, and Tyrann Mathieu was like, yo, I only played 2 years at LSU. Do I get I have two left? Like, I'll come back.
Yeah, who's to say that they don't? And to answer your question, TJB, no, he never bet on them to lose.
Hey, that we know. Nick, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Like, explain the jump the shark. Is that a McElwain thing? Like, what do you mean jump the shark?
Jump the shark is an expression. Yeah. Like, you've lost the plot.
Explain it though. Like, why did jump the shark?
I don't know. Like if you're watching a TV show and you like it and you like it and then it gets just crazy. The expression would be like you jumped the shark.
Yeah.
There's gotta be a deeper meaning to that.
This is where it comes from. It comes from the TV show.
No Happy Days.
It comes from Happy Days where Arthur Fonzarelli is wearing a signature or his leather jacket and water skis and physically jumps over a live shark in a confined pen. The stunt was seen in a desperate and absurd attempt to inject excitement into the show, making a distinct departure from the original grounded premise. So there you go.
I like it.
I never knew that that's where it came from. I just would say it.
It's got to be that's got to be like a white saying, no race thing, but it's just got to be. I've never heard that before.
I think that probably falls in line with people that are saying, "Hey, buddy, hiya, pal."
Yeah. I seen an Instagram thing was like white people running out of those things to say. Man, you guys used to have great one-liners, man. But
there's some comedian. Yeah. There's some comedian who's like the white. He's like as a white delegation talking to the black delegation, and there's like comedians going back and forth. And it was like, I need you to bring back this. We promised to bring back G. Willikers if you agree to bring back. And it's been hilarious.
That sounds great. But, yeah. Interesting conversation. We'll see what happens. I would imagine the NCAA's legal fees will be going up quite drastically here over the next couple of months as well. So
no matter what happens, the lawyers win.
Always. Sure. Yeah. Shout out to Frank again.
Shout out to Frank.
To start out the show. shout out to Frank and end the show with shouting out Frank.
Listen, might need Frank to run for a judgeship, a judge seat here in Alachua County. Frank is actually retiring. Shout out to Frank. Friday, Frank retired from being a lawyer. Now he teaches. He's finally retiring, and moving up to Gainesville to be a full-time grandpa. Might have to have him run for a judge in Alachua County. Don't worry. Injunctions.
Judge. No, long snapper camps. That's his.
Hey, if you want Charlie Weiss to give you a full ride to your university, We will be charging to teach our long snap.
As we wrap up the show today, just a couple pieces of housekeeping. First off, one time for our friends over at Alumni Hall, go visit them in Gainesville on Archer Road, or go visit them online at alumnihall.com. Let them know that Stadium and Gale sent you the largest selection of Florida Gators apparel out there. A couple other things. We did interview. We had a couple interviews last week with some of the recruits from 2027. So go check that out. I had the opportunity to sit down with Todd Golden. That's where my head was. I had a good, genuine conversation with him. I think that he's super excited about where the team is going, obviously next season. So go check that out. And then some unfortunate news. We had a listener to this show. Her name was Kathy, lived in Gainesville. She passed away last week. So rest in peace to her. She was a very avid listener to this program, a big supporter of the University of Florida and the Florida Gators football program and athletic program too. So prayers for her and her family. She suffered a stroke on, I believe, on Thursday. So prayers to Kathy and to her husband. They had just gotten married a couple of months ago. So again, for her, rest in peace to her, and thank you all for listening. Sorry to end it on a sad note, but I definitely didn't want to start on a somber note. But keep your friends or her friends and family in your thoughts, and keep the loved ones in your life close, and send somebody a hello or an I love you before you go to bed tonight. But other than that, we appreciate you guys. We have a lot of content ahead for Stadium and Gale, a lot of interviews coming up, including one with Scott Strickland here coming up in the not too distant future. And then pray for
let's go live with that one. You want to go live with that one?
Let's do it. Yeah. We'll do it. But you have to be a paying subscriber. How about that?
It might be worth it. It might be worth your money, man.
might be. And then prayers to me. I applied to go to SEC Media Days. So they don't normally let folks like me in there, but we'll see if I get the chance to go to SEC Media Days. Nick's gonna pull some strings.
Nick, you're muted, man.
Nick's like,
I don't even know if I've applied yet. I don't even know if I've applied yet. But every year.
Good thing I put my name was Nick Della Torre from Florida Victorious.
Looks like I have applied.
DK.
Just go there and act like you're supposed to be there, man. They'll let you in.
Just Nick DK Della Torre.
Yeah, no, I'll figure my way in. But we appreciate you guys for watching. Make sure you hit the like button, hit the comment button. Great show. Appreciate you guys. And we'll see you at the same corner, same time next week.
Yes, sir.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.